Hello once again, William Hill's Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce ready and raring to go on the big fights this weekend. Bunce, are you well?
I'm not quite sure. Because if you know, I'm being honest. I mean, it's...
Normally, it's always a goodest goal.
Absolutely. The final bell, right, on Saturday night, no matter where we are, whether we're in Manchester or London, will be probably no more than 48 hours away from Christmas. Christmas starts at midnight, correct?
Yeah.
The last bell here is going to be probably at midnight or just after, on already on the 23rd. So it could actually be 47 and a half hours. we've never had anything like that, ever, no. Ever. And we've got two pay-per-views, and at least six or seven I would classify as good fights.
Yeah.
Sport is not the word.
No, it's crazy. I mean, this weekend is crazy, isn't it? I mean, to finish what has been a remarkable year off in this manner. I mean, part of me thinks I wish it was split over two nights so I could watch it all live.
Or three.
Three nights. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we were just off air then, just looking through some of the fights, and I'm scrolling down and down and down, looking at all these various fights we've got. Crazy. There's a couple of... we're obviously going to talk about the big fights in a second. Let's run through some of the undercard fights, Bunce. The ones that are closer in betting terms. Should we start with... let's have a look at Martin Murray, first of all, shall we?
Yes.
He's fighting in Hassan Ndam Njikam. 13-10, the away fighter. 8-13, Martin Murray. And 20-1, the price of the draw. We haven't got too many other markets on this fight, but it's a pretty tight one. This is one of the fights at the MEN, of course. 37-4-1 is Murray's record. 17 KOs in his wins. He's been stopped once in those four losses. His opponent, who was born in Cameroon, fights out of France now, 36-3 losses, one KO in there, which was in his last fight. Where's Martin Murray, Bunce, at the moment, and how difficult an opponent is this? Because the way it's priced up, he's got a live chance here.
Well, a couple of years ago, when Martin lost, I think, to George Groves, and I didn't think he was at the races that night, he went away refreshed. Something was wrong, which he never revealed. There's always something wrong. Seldom gets revealed. He's come back a fresh man. He had a strong, hard fight this summer against a really tough guy.
Yeah, Roberto Garcia. Yeah,
awesome. Absolutely. And that's what he needed, because a one-round blowout was ridiculous. What he's doing here in Ndam, a guy that would just bounce a world title or world title fight via the Olympics, bizarrely showed up in Rio, which is one of those ridiculous anomalies. He's still a live opponent, Ndam. I'm never sure exactly what age he is. It doesn't really matter. He's seasoned is about the best we can say. He's been in some really hard fights, some real up-and-downers over the years. But Murray seems to have found a new lease of life. He seems to have rediscovered a bit of purpose and a bit of freshness. So I fancy Murray here. I fancy it long. It'd be a good stoppage if he stopped Ndam. Ndam can get stopped, but by the very best. Can get hurt, but by the very best. Get dropped, but by the very best. I think Murray wins on points, and I think it's a good win. And it's a win that puts Murray on the cusp of whatever he wants to do, really. You know, he might get a couple, and I say a couple, he might get a couple of more final payday. Sounds like a contradiction in terms. It's not. It's modern boxing. You don't get one final payday, you get a couple.
Let's move on to Mark Heffron's fight against Liam Williams. This is for the vacant British middleweight title. A few illustrious names have held this belt in the past. 21-0, Heffron, 17 KOs in that run. In fact, his last four have all been wins by stoppage. He's fighting Liam Williams, who's 18-2. He's been stopped once himself. That was when he retired against Liam Smith. He fought Smith again, didn't he, and then lost on a majority decision, I think it was. Won a couple since then, and now he's at the MEN fighting Mark Heffron here. Again, another tight one here. Heffron's 8-13, the draw 20-1, Liam Williams 13-10. Heffron's never tasted defeat. Will he taste it here?
I have a feeling he will, yeah. I mean, it's the only thing going, or loads of things going in Heffron's favour. He's unbeaten, he's fighting at home. He's the guy that had this fight guaranteed. Williams stepped up when Jason Wellborn decided to vacate the British middleweight title, drop down in weight and fight on the undercard of Fury against Wilder a couple of weeks ago. He's got all the advantages, Heffron. in some ways, and including the advantage that Williams has decided to move up in weight because he sees an opening. And I don't think that's a problem because I don't think Heffron's a gigantic middleweight, and I don't think Williams was a tiny light middleweight. So I wouldn't be at all surprised on the night that there's not a lot of difference in their size, to be honest with you. Right. And Williams has been in some serious trenches, in some serious fights over the years. He's had three or four really hard, grueling fights. And I think that's going to be the difference here. That we're going to see a little bit of grey. Plus, he seems like a happy and content man. He's moved away from Wales and Gary Lockett, and he's now with Dominic Ingle up in Sheffield, which is a gym that's particularly vibrant and working very well. Because Billy Joe Saunders is in that gym, and he fights in a sort of mismatch on the undercard. So, you know, he's been getting good sparring, Williams. I just fancy Williams to come through some really rough, rocky patches and to maybe get to Heffron, who will find himself after five or six rounds in a place he's never been, in a competitive fight after five or six, seven rounds. I fancy Williams, and I fancy him by stoppage 7-8-9.
Right.
And I don't know if you haven't got odds on that, that will be something to come. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Just what you got for me on that?
8-1 in 7-8-9. So you've got three rounds for you there, 8-1. Round, if you want, just the stoppage is 5-2, if we're putting an ACCA together. And the Williams win, to be fair, if you put an ACCA together, the Williams win is 13-10, so that's probably good enough to put in an ACCA.
Yeah,
if you want it as a single, maybe the 5-2 or the 8-1.
That's fine.
A few ways in there. I said he was stopped, of course. Technically, he was stopped, wasn't he? But he had a really bad cut against Smith, didn't he, in that
really
fight?
Really bad cut. And it was an ugly night, and he was in front. I thought he was quite a ways in front. I think one of the judges agreed, a couple did, and Liam had an interpretation about how the fight was going, and Liam Smith had another interpretation about how the fight was going. Either way, he said, with that in the Corcoran fight, he's had about 30-odd rounds, a really hard fight. He's had 30-odd rounds that Mark Heffron has never had.
Yeah.
That's the difference, when it comes down to it, in an even Stevens fight, in a fight with not much between the two, that bit of grey, that bit of suffering, and that's what can be the difference. And I think that'll be the difference here.
Yeah. Next up, before we get to the two big fights, this one's down south at the O2 on the undercard of the Chisora White fight. This is Ryan Walsh against Reese Bellotti. Bellotti 13-1. He's been stopped once, and that was against Ryan Doyle back in June of this year. Ryan Walsh 22-2-2, two draws in his record. The two losses, one came against Dennis Kalin back in 2016, and the other one back in 2013 against Lee Selby. So no real shame in each of those. It's the British featherweight title that he's defending here, Buncey. The betting looks like this: 8-11 Walsh, 11-10 Bellotti, 16-1 the draw. So we've picked out three real pick'ems here with slight favourites, which makes a nice change, doesn't it?
I fancy Walsh on points. Grade will be the factor here. I think Bellotti has a real good chance. I mean, I don't see there being a lot in this, to be perfectly honest. Perhaps that 16-1 is half decent. But I'm just going to go Walsh on points.
Walsh on points is priced up at 12-5. So again, nice little price for a single. I'm just going to stick the Walsh win in for the purposes of the accumulator, though, because we're building up a nice little bet here, Buncey. Let's stick at the O2 and look at Dillian White versus Derek Chisora before we move on to Frampton versus Warrington. William Hill sponsoring this night at the O2. The first fight was an absolute belter, Buncey, wasn't it? A real barnstormer. Yeah. White 24-1-0, his record. That one loss, the KO, of course, against Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua OBE in the last 2 hours,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Get yourself sorted.
Yeah. Nice, yeah, thank you very much.
I
hadn't seen it. 29-8 is Derek Chisora's record. It doesn't really tell the true story.
29-8.
It doesn't tell the true story, does it, Buncey? I mean, he's been in those losses are usually against some of the better ones. And obviously, one of those losses is against Dillian White in 2016 when he lost a split decision. It was a close run thing, though, Buncey, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
was a cracking fight, and there were times when those bludgeoning hooks from both of them looked like they were going to send each other sprawling, and it was just a great heavyweight fight. Are you expecting the same thing here? Because seldom do you get the same sort of fight. White's 1-3, Chisora 11-4. Given how close that last fight was, unless Chisora's drastically reduced in quality, then that 11-4 might be a touch of value for some people.
Yeah, and Danny's got an awful lot to prove. White just thinks, go through the motions, win, and then move on to Joshua. I think both of those are assumptions, to be perfectly honest with you. First things first, repeat revenge or a dismal second outing. There is a chance it could be the third. We expected the last fight to be a bit of a letdown. That was the fight where Derek Chisora had built up by getting himself fined for throwing a table at Dillian White. You remember that? At one of the first conferences, it was really ugly.
The balsa wood table, as you call
exactly.
It.
Hey. He just made it look easy.
I know.
It was a solid oak table made from Chilean... it was a solid oak table made from Chilean pine. Anyway, that's a good line. I might use that one. Anyway, quite seriously, turned out to be a brilliant fight, and it was great at the end. The British title wasn't up. That was one of the things the ball did. They dragged the British title away from it. I think we get much of the same. I'd be stunned if we don't get much of the same. I think both of them are in a better physical or mental place than they were then. I really do. And I expect the absolute same. Chisora, I'm sort of half leaning towards Chisora. I like this new look, leaner, fitter, more focused Chisora, because at the back of his mind he also knows that really hasn't got many chances. He's been written off after, you know, fights in 2000 and 2012 2004 2016. He's been written off a good few times, Dale Boy, and he keeps coming back, and he comes back because he gets his training regime right. Well, he's hooked up with David Hay. They're like a wrestling partnership, not like a boxing partnership, and that's not a problem. I think he's got a new lease of life. As for Dillian White, well, you know, there was talk about him fighting Deontay Wilder in November of 2017. And now there's talk in December of 2018 of him fighting AJ. He might just be one of those fighters where there's always talk about him fighting somebody, and it never happens. And if he loses to Derek Del Boy Chisora, then he fights Derek Del Boy Chisora in a third fight on the undercard at Wembley in April when Joshua makes his next defence, and it's not Dillian White in the ring fighting Joshua. If he beats Del Boy Chisora, in theory, he gets the rematch with Joshua, but I'm convinced that's not signed and sealed just yet. I think it's a hard fight. I just fancy it to be a repeat. A good fight, and Dillian White winning just on points. Dillian White on points, hard.
There's a couple of enhanced odds here. White to win in the first half of the fight is 5-1, enhanced from 4-1. Chisora to win by any kind of stoppage, the KO, TKO disqualification was 5, now 7s. But the stoppage price is, the stoppage price is 7-4 White, and that enhanced price for Chisora of 7-1. And the decision price is 11-8 for White to win on points, 9-2 for Chisora to win on points. Interesting one. The exact method of victory as well. If you can go for the exact KO or TKO. If you want to go by White by unanimous decisions, 2-1. By split decision, 12-1.
Okay.
White by split decision, 12-1. That looks
That's
a big price up on there. I hadn't looked at that price. You might have noticed him the way my voice changed.
It's like someone's got that wrong.
Well, that's what happened last time. And if we think it is going to be a carbon copy, 12-1's worth a little risk, isn't it?
I'm telling you, it's worth a little risk, especially Del Boy's been sowing some fantastic seeds of doubt in the minds of the judges. Saying, you know, you've got to really win if you're fighting on an Eddie Hearn bill, because Eddie Hearn seems to have a lot of influence. Eddie Hearn this, Eddie Hearn that. All stuff just this side of legal. But you know what? The judges see it. The judges aren't, you know, they're not in some kind of cocoon. They're not let out on Saturday night stuck ringside. They see this stuff. They hear this stuff. You know, they get tweets from mates going, Scott, you see what Derek Chisora said about the judges? You're working Saturday night, and the judge replies, yeah, I'm doing the Chisora and White fight. You see what? They're only like us. They're only normal people like you and I, Lee. Yeah. They're like us today. They're going to work. They're doing their normal jobs today. And trust me, that stuff works. We've seen it with football. Seen it with football managers complaining and screaming, and then it puts the pressure on the linesman. It puts the pressure on the referee. We've seen it with boxing. Managers and promoters screaming blue murder before a fight, and it sows a bit of a seed of doubt in the referee's mind. Anyway, so I fancy White, but I fancy it being hard, a repeat, grueling, a terrific fight, and Del Boy just falling short.
Yeah,
what an institution Del Boy is, eh? He really is, isn't he?
No, he's I thoroughly enjoyed his career. You know, long may it continue. I've just stuck in the 1-3 for the ACCA, but those, like I said, the win on points is a nice enough price, and that win by split decision, a repeat of the first fight, is 12-1. There's loads of betting on each individual round, and of course you won't find a better price on round betting than here at William Hill. Let's finish off, Buncey, by scooting back up the motorway to the MEN Arena, where Josh Warrington is defending his IBF World Featherweight title against Carl Frampton, the Jackal. 31 now, 26-1 his record reads. 15 KOs in those wins. The loss, of course, coming in the rematch against Leo Santa Cruz back in January of last year. Josh Warrington, still unbeaten, 27-0. And he's there was a great it'd be remiss of me not to mention the BBC podcast on this, because I mention it every single week, but it's a lovely way either yourself or Mike Costello explained Josh Warrington's career as being a ladder, and it being a very, yeah, almost, I think you said it was like a 70s career, and that was absolutely spot on, because at times during his career you thought, when's he going to make the move, and he's steadily got better and better and learned different things, and then he made the move when he fought Selby. I was there at Elland Road, lucky enough to be in the crowd, just watching it as a fan, and just, I mean, what a night, you know, great night, you know. Is this too big a step up for him now, or are we underestimating him once again? The betting looks like this: 7-4 Warrington, so the bookmakers may be underestimating him. Carl Frampton 1-2, 18-1 the draw. So Carl Frampton is closer to Warrington than Chisora is to White in their fight, if that's anything to go on.
Well, I don't think we're necessarily underestimating him. I think this is just a big, bold fight. I mean, I'm not being funny. He could be fighting Walsh, who's defending his British featherweight title. You know, he could be fighting him here for a lot less money and at home. He took the option to continue the trajectory, continue that step, that move up that ladder. And what I was talking about on that podcast was that there's a solid list going back about sort of 4 or 5 years, four years really, and it's Samir Muenemi, Rendell Monroe, Martin Lindsay, Tuburana, Magasa, Highland, Martinez, Silan, leading to Selby. You know, that's a list of 8 consecutive fighters, I think, out of 9 fights, all of whom were slightly better than the previous one. And they were not better on a, you know, local level. These were better on an international level, on a top domestic international level. He has been brilliantly matched, brilliantly crafted, and it shaped the fighter that shocked everybody at Elland Road back in the summer. Because let's not imagine that we were on the podcast giving Josh Warrington much of a chance. Let's get that right. We thought the crowd will help him. He's brave, he's tough, he's got a good chin. He'll go to 12, but he's going to be out of his depth, outclassed, outmaneuvered. No, he broke and smashed Lee Selby. Forget the split decision verdict. As Mike Costello pointed out on that podcast, that was one of those really disturbing scores this year, where you get a really bad score, even though the other two judges get it right. It's that third score that's worse than anything that happens in a so-called bad decision. He was magnificent that night, Warrington. And I've got to be honest with you, I think we could see something very, very similar this time. However, the element of surprise has gone. Lee Selby had no idea what Warrington could do. Frampton knows exactly what Warrington can do. And Frampton's a slightly smarter fighter than Lee Selby and can adapt. And I think that could be the crucial element to counter what Warrington brings. But I'm going to do something, Lee, that I've never done before in 11 years of us doing this. I came very close to doing it once, and I wish I had, because that's exactly what happened. I'm picking the draw.
Wow.
I'm picking the draw. Now, there was a fight, I'm not sure when it was, maybe in the last year, and we set the draw, and you sort of half talked me out of it, and I changed my mind on air.
You're blaming me for it now.
Of course I am. I changed my mind on air, we went for a split, and it was like 1-3 or something, man, or 3-2, it was like nothing, you know, 11-10, and the draw was still about 18 or 22-1. And I'm going for it here. I'm going for it here.
Nice.
I'm going on that for the 18-1.
Nice. Yeah, you can see that. A couple of enhanced odds here. Warrington to win by decision. They've enhanced that, which is probably the only way he can win, in truth. 3-1 the price for Warrington to win a decision. Frampton to win in the first half of the fight by stopping him is 8-1 from 6-1. All around betting there again. There's loads of the your odds as well there. So these are the there's some nice ones. If you're a Leeds fan listening to this and you're confident of your team doing well and of Warrington, the Leeds Warrior doing well, then there's loads around that. So you've got Josh Warrington to win. By KO, TKO, disqualification, Leeds to win, and Kamal Roof to score is 40-1. Just a little taster of the 600-1 Buncey for Leeds to win 3-1 and Josh Warrington to win in rounds 1-3, which has got a nice little symmetry to it. 600-1. I don't think it can happen, but you know, it's might be worth 50p for someone's money.
You've got to have a punt on that. I mean, I'm not being funny. You're not asking for Elvis to come back, are you, for God's sake? But you know, that's a reasonable punt.
For 600-1. 600-1 should be an absolute cracker. I've been putting this accumulator together as we've been going along. We have got. Let me just add the. I'll add in. I can't put the draw. I'm not going to put the draw in because I'll just take it into another realm. But the draw is a standout bet. I have the draw, 18-1. I'll do it with the draw and without the draw. So the four fights for the accumulator is Murray to win, Williams to win, Walsh to win, and White to win. That comes to 8-1, Buncey. But we'll get that boosted in a second or two and see what the actual price is once it's boosted. If you put the if you went for it and put the 18-1 draw in there, and you know, and why shouldn't you? That would boost to quite a mighty price. I'm just having a look here. What we got here? 18-1. Stick that in there. That would be 210-1. With the 18-1 in there. Without that, though, it gets boosted to just over 8-1 there. So about 8.3-1 if you want the technical. So that's just the four fights. Yeah, decent that. And the draw. If that ends in a draw, I'm going to be jumping around the living room, Buncey.
Oh, my God. 210-1. We talked about putting a tenner on 600-1. Why not put a tenner on 210-1? The other four, I think we've gone fairly safe. I really do.
Yeah.
And then we're going for a draw. And with recent history and how many tight, close, hard fights we've had this year, I'm telling you, I'm loving that draw, brother.
Finishing on a draw. Remember, you get the bet boost if you have a treble or bigger on the William Hill website or the app. So you'll see the yellow. Just log in. You'll see the yellow and black button there. You hit that and it'll automatically boost your price to something a bit bigger. You can have that on boxing or across all your different sports. It's up to you. Buncey, thanks very much for all your effort this year. It's been a cracking year. All the best for Christmas and the new year. And here's to an equally good 2019, eh?
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.